Church. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We've got several announcements, number one of which is next Sunday marks the 10th anniversary for Pastor Gary being employed here. And is David Acock in the room? No? Well, we are, I think some remembrances are being collected by the deacons to present to him. We're not putting it in the bulletin next Sunday, so hopefully we will be able to totally surprise Gary with some remembrances next Sunday morning. So if you have not participated in that at this point, please get with your deacon family minister, or I don't know what all I'm talking about here, but I'm getting it pretty close anyway. But it is a when you get a zero like that in your anniversary or your birthdays, that we do tend to mark them in special ways. Tonight there is no Journey or Awana, but next Sunday night they all crank back up at their regular times. So nothing is being held at the church tonight or Wednesday night. Nothing. The church will not be open at all on Wednesday, so just plan on. And I think the Wednesday night suppers start back the second Wednesday in January. So be sure you sign up for that in the atrium. Tomorrow, youth is the lockout at 8 o'clock here at the church. And Saturday, January 10th. I am really looking forward to this date. I've got a granddaughter that lived in Florida for 3 years, and she didn't get to see any snow, and she just thought it was terrible that her cousins up here in North Carolina got snow last year, and she didn't get to see any of it. So I'm planning to go down to Roland and pick up my granddaughters from there and bring them to the sled day, and I'm cooking a pot of chili. Now, I don't know whether mine's better than everybody else's, but it's going to be in the mix, okay? So the rest of y'all that are cooking, make sure you make your best pot, okay? The place in the kitchenette, in the kitchen back beside the nursery in the educational building, still has a number of Christmas cards that are undelivered. So if you haven't gone by there, please go by there today. I think they're wanting to dismantle and put the box away, and so everyone needs to try to get their cards picked up today on their way out. And I noticed out on our sign-up sheet, we've got on our place in the atrium, Red Cross Blood Donation Day is Friday, January 16th. So we need to be filling up the list. I see that there are a lot of people already signed up to give blood that day. And if you haven't already, please get by there and between now and the 16th and get that done. And I'm looking through the discipleship. We've got two sign-up sheets that are totally blank out there. One is for the financial peace course that will be taught at some point once we have enough people sign up and we decide, they will decide as to what their meeting times will be. And then the discussion group and reflection of discipleship. So anyway, that'll be a 4 to 5 week discussion. So be mindful of those and get signed up for that. Are there any other announcements that I haven't known about or thought about? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Lord, we're here. We thank you for your being here with us. Father, that I pray that everything that we say and do and sing will be to your honor and your glory and your worship. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Stand and join in worship by singing hymn number 118, What Child Is This? Let's stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to come in your house today, and thank you for the many blessings that you've given us over this past year. Please be with those that could not be here today, and please be with all of us as we start a new year and help keep you the highest priority in our life. Please take this offering and use it to further your kingdom. In these things we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, wait for everyone to come down. So for those of you who may not know, obviously I'm not Matt, but my name is Becca, and I just have a few things that I'd like to share with you this morning. So as you know, this past week we had Christmas, and it was a lot of fun. And one of the gifts that I got was this little wallet. I get to carry stuff around in, and I really like it a lot. Did y'all receive any gifts for Christmas? Yeah, it looked like you were good, so I bet you got some. But out of all the ones that you got, what was your favorite? What was yours? A scooter? Ooh, that's fun. Anyone else have a favorite? What about you? A golf cart, wow. An iPad, fancy. Do you have a favorite one? Which one? Oh, golf cart too, ooh. Well, one thing that I've learned about Christmas presents is that even though we really love them a lot and they're exciting and they're fun to get, they don't always last. Maybe some of us got some new clothes. Well, we really like to wear them, and they're really nice, but sometimes then they get worn out, or we outgrow them, or they go out of style or something like that. And maybe some of us got new toys. Well, those are really fun to play with, but then maybe they'll break, or we'll just get tired of them and not want to play with them anymore. And then there's always candy. Candy's good. It's really... tastes good to eat, but then once you eat it, it's gone, you know?
But there's no Christmas gift. There's one Christmas gift that is a little different than all those, and that is a gift that keeps on giving, and it gives year after year after year, and it doesn't get worn out, and it doesn't grow out of style, and it doesn't, we have never get tired of it. And y'all know what that is? Right, Jesus' birth.
Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see, we didn't seem like we can't do right. Look how we treated you, but please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago, sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you was. I want you to turn in your hymnals to number 108, and I'll give you a little bit of a music lesson. This chorus is written with a strong part and an echo part. Every other phrase is an echo. If you'll notice, it says, sing how great our joy loud. That's what the F means, fortissimo. And then the P means soft, how great our joy. So I'm gonna lead you like that. Y'all stand and let's see if we can sing this and hear the echo.
This time I'd like us to open our bulletins. I want to point special attention to several prayer requests that we have at this time. So I'll give you just a moment to open up your bulletins. And as you're doing so, you remember last Sunday we celebrated with Hubert and Marguerite 64 years wedding anniversary. Well, this Tuesday, Jimmy and Ernestine Bridges are also celebrating a wedding anniversary of 64 years. Well, that was an amazing testament to marriage. Let's give them a round of applause. Let's give them a round of applause. Just wonderful to hear news as that. And what a celebration coming Tuesday for Jimmy and Ernestine. As you're looking over your prayer requests there and the prayer concerns that are before us for the week ahead, I do want to pay special close attention to three surgeries that will be tomorrow. Just to say an extra prayer. Lou Ann, Hannah Stackpole, and Christina Logan will all have procedures tomorrow, so make sure to keep them in your prayers. I always mention how I enjoy and admire the way Gary draws our attention to this holy request that we have each and every week. At times it can look like a list of names that can seem too daunting to pray over, but I know a lot of us take it to heart, and we look at this list throughout the week and pray specific for the names mentioned. We know there are many names that are not mentioned. I know of a lot of sicknesses going around, people under the weather, and some who are out of town. So we have a lot to pray for this week, as well as a lot to continue to be thankful for in our prayers as we are continuing to celebrate Christmas. So at this time, let's have a word of prayer. God, we do come before you and we have a moment and time during our worship service that we have each week to be a time to acknowledge that you listen to us as we pray and you teach us to pray and how to pray and who to pray for. Lord, there are many names on this list. There are many prayer requests that we have. There are many praises we can attest to give you. So Lord, this week, draw us close to you through prayer. Keep us mindful of how to pray and who to pray for and when to pray. May that draw us closer to the needs that are before us, seeing how you're at work in so many different ways. Lord, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Let in the light. Powerful testament to a right relationship with Jesus. Powerful words as we continue to celebrate Christmas at this time. And Becca, I'd like to thank you for leading the children's sermon there as we began our conversation of great joy and the joy that we experience during Christmas. I want to continue that conversation at this time, and I want to do so by talking about 2 days ago. 2 days ago was December 26th, the day after Christmas. And in the evening of December 26th, in my house, you would not know that only 24 hours earlier, it was Christmas. You see, in the Rigsby house, we begin to decorate the day after Thanksgiving. And in the Rigsby house, we also begin to remove all those decorations bright and early the day after Christmas. I'm not one that grew up with this tradition necessarily, but Lauren began to convince me that this decoration or decorating the day after Thanksgiving would be appropriate to do so a little bit earlier, and it is enjoyable. Also convinced me that taking down Christmas the day after Christmas would make sense because, well, Christmas is over. And that makes sense to me. I agree with that. There's nothing wrong with keeping decorations up a little bit longer. If you were to walk into our yard, though, into our house, you would see that the day after Christmas, especially December 26th, the night of the day after Christmas, it would seem as if we had never celebrated Christmas at all from a decoration standpoint. Lawrence told me a story of her uncle one time taking a nap on Christmas Day, or I believe the day after Christmas, and when he woke up, Christmas was gone. His wife had taken down all the decorations, and it was as if Christmas had never happened. I remember that story. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking about the outward appearance of our homes and inside our houses. And when we take down Christmas and we remove Christmas from our homes, does that mean we remove Christmas from us, our lives? I had to think, do I rid myself of anything Christmas-related when Christmas is done? So I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you all, does the celebration and joy of Christmas cease once the decorations come down? So I want us to think about an important question. Does the joy of Christmas end on December 26th? I don't think so. I think great joy never ceases. It's a joyous time, Christmas time. We hear that often. I believe it's true. Great joy is something we read about each Christmas. The shepherds we read about, they had an amazing interaction with angels. It's an interaction most of us know about well, but I want us to look at it. And you may be wondering, we're going to look at a Christmas story after Christmas. Why would we do such a thing? Well, I think one verse in particular will hopefully help us understand how great joy never ceases and can continue and actually build after Christmas Day. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. It's just one verse. As you're turning to Luke chapter 2, if you could look at verse 10 and stand with me if you're able. We're going to read that one verse this morning to continue our conversation. Passage we're all familiar with, but I want to make sure we hear it one more time as we're discussing great joy. Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Let's pray. God, such a simple, short verse, but one with so much meaning behind it. Help us understand the joy we experience during Christmas, the joy that the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, created and continues to create, how that can continue this week and this year. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. We've celebrated Christmas. We've recognized a season of Advent. We don't see the Advent wreath anymore. We know that Advent means coming. As the church anticipates the future coming of Jesus Christ, we understand that brings great joy as we celebrate and acknowledge Advent. The coming of Jesus the Messiah was something that was highly anticipated. Jesus himself knew that, being the one who was the Messiah, who is the Messiah. Jesus, just a little bit further in the Gospel of Luke, he cites Isaiah 61:1. He understands people have been anticipating the arrival of a Messiah, a Savior. Listen to what Isaiah 61:1 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus realizes that is him. He's talking about himself there. Jesus breaks through into the world, brings light into the world. That's why I loved that song there. What an amazing testament to a right relationship with Jesus. He brings light into the world, into our lives. Especially during Christmas, we acknowledge that. Being born in a stable, we hear about and we know, is no special thing. It's really a humble way to be born. It gives no special attention to Jesus' birth. Jesus, in this act, though, was already at his birth foreshadowing his relationship, his saving power and grace with the poorest, the most humble, the homeless. He understands what his place is, and his birth signifies that from the beginning. The humble birth has been put this way. Some people say it demonstrates the world's inability to accept the Lord properly. I think that's true. So we have this birth narrative that we all know about. We read about during Christmas time, and we know in Matthew about the Magi, and we know in Luke about how Jesus is born and where he is born. And then we come to Luke 2:10. That birth narrative is put directly against this glorious announcement from angels. That's where we intersect the story at this time. The angel comes to shepherds, keeping watch over their flock by night. And that's where we intersect great joy and understand our place in great joy. But there was another story I recently heard. And I don't know if this one is true or not, but it's one that I think does serve a purpose and helps me continue on our path of understanding that great joy never ceases. And the story goes something like this. There are two hunters. They're going out, and they come to what looks like an abandoned farm. And the only appearance of the farm maybe being a working farm is a barn that's kind of sagging. The house is in disrepair. There are a few chickens pecking around, and there's a goat wandering around. And the hunters are making their way through the farm, and they enter the yard and come across an old well. And one of the hunters asks the other hunter, he says, I wonder how deep that well is, just out of curiosity. And the other one says, well, we'll have to drop something in and listen for a splash to find out how deep the well is. Well, they looked around for something, and there were some car parts lying around. There was a transmission lying there, and they both picked it up, and they heaved it into the well, and they were listening for a splash. Well, about that time, they turned around, and they saw that goat that they had noticed charging at them. Full steam ahead, horns down, just running at him as fast as he could. And just in time, they stepped out of the way, and the goat jumped into the well. And the hunter looked at his friend and said, can you believe that crazy goat? I couldn't believe he just jumped in the well like that. Well, they kept on their way, and they actually ran across the farmer, and they got to talking and actually got permission to hunt on his land. And as they were about to leave, the farmer asked, well, have you seen my goat that was wandering around here? And one of the hunters said, well, your goat did the craziest thing. He actually ran right to us and jumped into that well over there. You should have had him tied up or something. I can't believe he was acting like that. The farmer said, well, I thought I did have him tied up. He was supposed to be tied up to a transmission laying around here somewhere. So it helps me understand that you often follow what you're tied to. I like that. I was hearing that and I laughed out loud. I said, that makes sense. You follow what you're tied to. I thought that helped me understand that the notion before this passage is a notion that people had that was there was going to be a glorious birth from a Messiah. There was going to be a glorious rule from this Messiah. And that notion is true, But the notion was defined in the wrong way. You see, God defines glorious, not of earthly splendor, of earthly riches, but God defines a glorious arrival of a Messiah as an arrival of humility and service to all. And so when the angel appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus Christ, there is now a redefining of people's expectation of Messiah. We have to understand that people are going to have their definition of God being incarnated redefined in a different way. Let's also remember that in the first century, shepherds were not really given the highest honor. They were known as shiftless. They were scorned. They grazed their flocks on other people's lands. But this is who God reveals his message to after Jesus is born. I think sometimes we can bypass that fact if we look at Luke 2:10. And we can really breeze through the fact that right before this, when the angel does appear to the shepherds, that they are terrified. And I stopped and I thought about that. I thought about real terror, experiencing real terror, what that's like. And I have to say, if angels stood before me, I think I would probably experience terror as well. There are many angelic announcements in Scripture, often associated with terror following the appearance of angels and announcement. That's why encouragement is needed after an angelic announcement. I mean, think about being met with the very presence of God's glory. That's, in a sense, what these angels are representing. Showing God's glory, demonstrating his power and his love, surrounding these shepherds with their presence. I think terror is probably appropriate. And so I wanted us to think for a moment. I wanted us to think about a time we have been met with the presence of God. Think about a time that we have directly encountered God's glory. I call these instances markers in your life. When you directly encounter God's glory, you can feel his presence. You know he's there. He's speaking to you. His love surrounds you. You understand he is right next to you. I want you to think. Think of a time in prayer. Think of a time in Bible study. Think of a time in worship, in conversation, driving down the road, sitting in a room full of people, or sitting by yourself. Think of a time you have truly experienced God's glory. Those markers in life really reveal to us how amazing God is. You may be thinking of a moment during a sermon. You may be thinking of a moment during a conversation with a friend. There are so many different times we may be thinking of where God truly presents himself before you. And I want you to think, what did God say to you? Why did you feel God's presence around you and experience his love and glory the way that you did? Sometimes that can cause great terror. Sometimes that can cause fear when we really experience God's glory surrounding us. Fear can grip you when you're seeking God's will. You're seeking to listen to him through discernment, and he presents himself in an unexpected way. That can cause fear. This is where I'm starting to resonate with the shepherds at this point. They are literally surrounded by God's glory. And so I have to ask, when you experience God's glory, and he maybe says, or you discern something that catches you off guard, how do you react? How do you react? Think for a moment of the unexpected arrival of angels surrounding the shepherds. I try to put myself in this setting. It's a piece of scripture that we've read many, many times. So I try to pause and place myself in this setting. Think how the shepherds are going through their routine day and night. What are they experiencing? And then all of a sudden, angels are before them. What is that like? The thoughts that are going through their mind, and all we hear is terror. And I believe so. But we know that they are now met with God's presence. Hopefully, the familiarity of these words do not hinder us from understanding that this is truly showing God's abundant grace. It's showing God's love and God's joy. And hopefully that shows us how to have joy and to celebrate far after Christmas Day is over. You see, the scripture we read during Christmas that sets the scene for Jesus' birth shows us that something big is going on here. Shows us something out of this world is happening. And isn't that the point? This is showing us something huge in understanding God's relationship with His creation. And I want us to think that after the announcement of Jesus' birth, the story doesn't stop there. It continues. Part of the announcement that we read is understanding that that joy that we speak of is for all the people. Sometimes we can experience the unexpected. And like we've mentioned, I think the shepherds experienced the unexpected. And they were met with joy. They wanted to tell people. They had to see the Savior themselves. At this time, I'd like to share just a moment of an experience Lauren and I have had, an unexpected experience that provided unexpected joy. While we were engaged, we spent a lot of time praying and talking to discern how God is going to guide us toward marriage. And part of those prayers and conversations involved where Lauren was going to teach once she had finished her degree. She had done everything on her part. The degree was there. Her preparation was thorough. The channels had been put out there in numerous ways to see where a job might land. As we prayed and talked about that, I remember the Lord vividly interjecting in our conversation something to the effect of, if we're genuinely seeking God's will, if we're understanding how to follow Christ's lordship in our life, then opportunities will present themselves. God will use our giftedness when and where it's needed. It will happen. We really felt an openness of where God was leading and how He was leading. And that led us to a time where we were driving one afternoon, engaged in preparation of certain wedding things that engaged couples are involved in. I can't remember exactly what. But Lauren received a phone call, and I remember this part vividly. She received a phone call, and all of a sudden I could tell this is going somewhere. It was the principal from Bowie's Creek Elementary. Well, I could tell the conversation was going well. There was a smile on her face. There was a glow, even a tear maybe. We could tell that this was leading somewhere. So she got off the phone, and ecstatic excitement ensued. I mean, tears almost came to my eyes of just joy, just celebrating how God had affirmed we were listening to Him and His timing. Pieces of the puzzle were coming together. We could see some of the plan unfolding, especially coming right before our wedding. So we were excited to see how God was going to guide this time together. Prayers were being answered. We were affirmed that our faith in God was firm. It was where it should be. Now, that may sound like if you pray enough or have faith enough, you'll get what you want. But that's not the case. And without being able to go into it too much or too detailed, the timing and location actually proved to be very difficult in many manners or many ways. But in the ways that mattered most, it was a very fruitful experience during her time at Bowie's Creek Elementary. You see, as a newly married couple, we were able to see how God used that opportunity to grow us as husband and wife, and grow Lauren as a teacher. We were able to see how God continued to reveal His will to us long after an unexpected experience of joy. You see, the joy continued. Our joy didn't cease once the information was out. We didn't receive information of where she was going to teach and figure that piece of the puzzle was done and now we're through with it. We can move on to the next step. Now, that joy continued to build upon itself, and we continued to learn that as we grow in our understanding of God's guidance and discern His will in our life through constant prayer and conversation, that joy builds upon itself. Decisions and discernment build upon themselves. We were able to see how God was at work in a mighty way, and His work continued as we faithfully continued to follow his plan long after the announcement of where a job would take place. Now, I want you to think for yourself. When has God revealed specific details of his will in your life? Think of that marker again. Usually it's accompanied by a time where you can really feel God's presence surrounding you. You can sense his glory is upon you. We know God's always with us in times of worship. When we're gathered together for his purposes, we know he's there. But think back to those moments where you are really experiencing his presence in a profound way. Usually that's accompanied with a direct understanding of how he's guiding your life in a specific time and place. So when God has revealed to you specific detail in your life, however that may have occurred when you were recalling the memory you had, did you obey? Did you allow joy to continue to build upon itself even when an unexpected word came from God? You see, I really believe the joy we experience at Christmas is just the start. We actually know that Christmas Day is the start of the Christian calendar. I told Lauren that the 12 days of Christmas actually begins at Christmas, and then you begin to decorate and you move through Epiphany. I think it's January 6th, and I didn't really catch anything at that time. I think we'll still stick to our decorating after Thanksgiving and taking down after Christmas. But we have to understand that the joy of Christmas must continue long after our celebration of December 25th. And to me, if we really do experience joy coming from Christmas celebration, it will continue. Joy, by its very definition, is not temporary. But if our elation during Christmas stems from temporary matters, that will soon fade away. But I want us to understand this morning that the angel's proclamation to the shepherds is for us, because great joy never ceases. The information that the angels share was not just for the shepherds. I think it's amazing how God uses the shepherds. That's an unexpected way to continue his proclamation of love and the birth of his son. But it's for us to understand that that information calls us to act. We have to continue to share that joy and let obedience through sharing that joy with others continue to build upon itself. I hope we understand that the good news that is for all people means we are to participate in that, and in doing so, share it with others long after Christmas is over. I'm not sure if you share the same traditions that Lauren and I share of removing decorations the day after. It may be later this week. It may even be January. I'm not sure. We see sometimes they stay up a little while longer, and that's okay to celebrate that way. But I hope our joy in celebrating Christmas is recognized long after the decorations come down. That's the prayer that has been placed on my heart this week. It's as if God asked me, will people know you this week as one who is full of joy? So I want to ask you, will people know you this week as someone who's full of joy? That Christmas spirit we often hear about, it's joy from Jesus Christ. Hopefully our celebration, hopefully us celebrating the Christ child, is something that continues long after we see the decorations come down in the sanctuary. They look beautiful. It's a marvelous time. I can remember the hanging of the green service. Wonderful time to initiate the celebrating of Christmas. But I'm hoping our joy will continue long into 2015. And I want us to remember what the angel said. I want us to remember what God says. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So I pray, I hope that we start the new year in 2015 allowing the joy of Christmas to continue, because great joy never ceases. Let's pray about that. God, we come before you trying to understand how to continue to celebrate Christmas. And God, we know what we're celebrating is the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And part of that celebration must include
telling other people the good news of his life-saving love that is for all people. God, may great joy surround us this week as we move about life inside these church walls and especially outside these church walls. Guide us in our conversations. May joy be exposed to all we come in contact with. Show us how to share the good news of your Son. And Lord, we pray this in His name. Amen. At this time, we'd like to have a hymn of decision and discernment. Hymn number 121. And we always have the tradition where I'll stand in the front here. And if there's a person who has accepted Christ this week, or if that's something that you've been thinking about currently, I'd love to have a conversation about that and share that with the church, or joining or transferring membership. This will be a time to come forward and share that with the church during our hymn number 121. I've enjoyed continuing to celebrate Christmas this morning during our time of worship. I pray that the week ahead offers many opportunities to continue to share the good news and the joy that accompanies that. At this time, I'd like to close us in a word of prayer as we head out. Lord, we come before you and we understand that you have called us now to share the news of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we walk through these doors, plant in our minds specific ways to do that and find opportunities to continue the joy of your Son this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Spread the joy.